Chapter 1. A Single Man. People expect that a single man with money is necessarily looking for a wife. This belief is so strong that, without knowing the man's feelings on the subject, people assume it to be true. When a man like this moves to a new neighborhood, he is already considered to be the property of one of the neighboring daughters by those who live there. It needs only be decided whose. "My dear Mr. Bennett," said his wife to him one day, "have you heard that someone has rented Netherfield Park?" Mr. Bennett replied that he had not. "Mrs. Long says it has been rented by a rich young man from the north of England. He came on Monday to see the place and will be moving in soon."
"What is his name?"
her husband asked. "A Mr. Charles Bingley. He is a single man of large fortune. What a fine thing for our girls."
"How so?"
"Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I am thinking he might marry one of them," replied his wife.
"Is that why he's moving here?"
"Of course not, but it is very likely that he may fall in love with one of them. So, you must visit him as soon as he comes." Mr. Bennett was an odd man. He was reserved, but had a sarcastic humor. After 23 years of marriage, his wife still did not understand him. Her mind, however, was less difficult to read. She was simple-minded and ignorant. Her sole mission in life was to get her daughters married. Mr. Bennett intended to visit Mr. Bingley, but it amused him to tease his wife. In time, the girls had the opportunity to meet Mr. Bingley. He attended a party in their village of Meryton with his sisters and his friend Mr. Darcy. Mr. Bingley was good-looking and charming. His sisters, Miss Bingley and Mrs. Hurst, were fine women of high fashion. Mr. Darcy was also of great interest to everyone. He was tall, handsome, and from a wealthy family. Within 5 minutes of his entering the room, everyone was talking about how much money he had. He was seen to be the most handsome and admirable man in the room, until his manners changed people's minds. His behavior showed that he was proud and that he thought the people there were beneath him. He hardly danced, and when he did, it was only with his friends. He declined to be introduced to anyone and spoke only to the people he had come with. It was decided that he was the proudest, most unpleasant man in the world. Everyone hoped that he would never come there again. Mrs. Bennett particularly disliked Mr. Darcy because he insulted one of her daughters. Elizabeth had been sitting out one of the dances, and Mr. Darcy was standing near her. Mr. Bingley left the dance to speak with him, and Elizabeth overheard their conversation. Mr. Bingley was encouraging Mr. Darcy to dance, but he was refusing. He wouldn't be seen dancing with anyone in the room other than Mr. Bingley's sisters. He complained that Mr. Bingley was already dancing with the only suitable woman, and that was Jane Bennett. Mr. Bingley agreed that she was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen, but suggested that Mr. Darcy ask her sister, who was also very pretty, to dance. Mr. Darcy looked at Elizabeth and said, "She is tolerable, but not handsome enough to tempt me." Mr. Bingley returned to his dance partner, Elizabeth's sister, Jane. He was quite interested in her and asked her to dance twice. Mrs. Bennett was happy to later report that she was the only girl with whom he danced a second time. Jane was pleased by the attention she received from Mr. Bingley, but in a quieter way. Elizabeth was very happy for Jane, and it was clear to all that this was the beginning of a relationship. When Jane and Elizabeth were alone, the former, who had not told anyone else what she thought of Mr. Bingley before, expressed to her sister just how much she admired him. "He is just what a young man ought to be," said Jane. "He is sensible and good-humored. He is lively and relaxed at the same time. And he has such happy manners."
"He is also handsome," replied Elizabeth.
"I was very much flattered by his asking me to dance a second time. I did not expect such a compliment."
"You didn't? Why not? I certainly expected it. But that is one great difference between us. Compliments always take you by surprise.
Of course he would ask you again. He could not help seeing that you were about 5 times as pretty as every other woman in the room.
Well, he certainly is very agreeable, and I am glad you like him. You have liked many a stupider person.
Dear Elizabeth, said Jane.
Oh, you like everyone, Jane. You never see a fault in anybody. I have never heard you speak ill of a human being in your life.
I try not to be hasty in judging anyone, but I always speak what I think.
I know you do. You are the only person I know who takes the good of everybody's character and makes it still better, while saying nothing of the bad.
And so you like this man's sisters, too. Their manners are not equal to his, said Elizabeth.
Well, not at first, but once you talk with them, you find them to be nice people. Miss Bingley is going to live with her brother at Netherfield, and I'm sure she'll be a charming neighbor.
Elizabeth listened in silence. She was not convinced. In her opinion, Mr. Bingley's sisters were women of high society who looked down on others. She had seen nothing at the party to convince her otherwise. However, Jane, true to her nature, tried to see the best in Bingley's sisters.